You have your Bible, find again Paul's letter to the Colossians in the New Testament. Colossians in chapter 1, and hold your place there for just a moment. In these weeks leading up to Christmas, and we'll be wrapping up next Sunday morning on Christmas Day, we have been looking at the Apostle Paul's grand sweeping description of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the one whom we celebrate at Christmas, the one who came as a baby to Bethlehem, who is the creator of our universe, we have seen. He is the redeemer for us. Next week, we'll consider that he is our God. And we are going to look this morning at a great truth of Scripture, that he is our sustainer. Christ sustains the universe that he has created. And in that, we see, because of that, we see God in the universe. We see him at work. Sarah Salviander is a research scientist in astrophysics. She grew up an atheist, a child of atheists, of adamant atheists, her parents were. And she said she was only, throughout her childhood and growing up, she was only exposed to a few Christians. She was taught hostility toward Christians. She was taught to disdain Christians. She was taught that they were ignorant and they didn't know anything about science or what the real world was all about. That's how she grew up. And she said she even grew up in political environments that were hostile toward Christians. But then she went off to college to study science, to study physics, and she started meeting more Christians. She started getting to know Christians. She started having friends who were Christians. And she says she immediately realized there was a distinctive difference between the Christians she knew and the atheists she was and grew up with. She said suddenly she found these Christians that she came to know were actually very content and joyous people. They enjoyed their lives. And she said, using that exact terminology, joyous and content, she said she herself as an atheist and other atheists she knew were not like that. And she had never really realized that until the contrast that she saw between her and the Christians that she knew. But not only was that a turning point for her, also getting to know physics professors who were Christians. She said that she came to admire them. She came to look up to them. And one personal example, she says, that had a great influence on her, helped her to see more and more truth in Christianity. And he said to her the reason he had studied physics and the reason as a Christian he could do that is because God made the world make sense. God made the world make sense. She went on to become, today she serves in Texas as an astrophysicist and an adjunct professor and a research scientist. She's a believer now, and she works in a group called the Center for Astrophysics and Space Scientists. She's studying all kinds of things about origins of the universe. And not long ago in an article, she said, talking about her conversion to Christ, she said, I started to sense that there was an underlying order to the universe. That's one of the reasons she turned to Christ. She says, without even knowing it, I was awakening to what Psalm 19 tells us so clearly. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. It's both a truth hinted in Scripture and declared on its pages. God created the universe, and he is still active in that creation. God is still active in creation in our lives also as the sustainer of the creation. He is the one at work to keep this creation together, moving forward to sustain all there is in creation. In Colossians chapter 1, our attention this morning is just one verse, verse 17. Colossians 1, verse 17. As the Apostle Paul writes, he says, speaking of Christ, he is before all things, and by him all things hold together. By him all things hold together. That's the key phrase for this verse. It's Paul's description of Christ, our sustainer, the one who is sustaining the universe. He holds all things together. The phrase holds all things together comes from a word in Paul's language that means he is the unifying balance. He brings cohesion to everything. Simply put, he's saying Christ is the glue of the universe. He is the reason that everything sustains and works the way that it does. He sustains it He preserves it. He empowers it. He is the creator that also sustains what he created. He is the reason everything functions the way that it does. And you might be thinking, well, not everything functions very well. Well, understand, we live in a sin-tainted world. Sin is in this world. Sin is the problem, however. It doesn't mean that Christ is not sustaining or working through this world. It doesn't mean that things are not working the way that Christ wants them to. It's just those works are tainted by sin that he never intended. As we go back to this one verse, I want you to consider with me a few truths this morning about the way that Christ sustains creation. He does it with order, he does it with power, and he does it with care. Look at this with me. First, creation reveals God's order. Creation reveals God's order. It reveals that Christ, the Son of God, is orderly and working in particular order, and that he has installed order and design into the universe. And that's how he sustains it. The verse starts, he is before all things. And by its very nature, that phrase implies order. Something came before something else. And in Paul's language, that simple, those two words, he is, which are one word in Paul's language, come in an emphatic place in the sentence. Paul is proclaiming Jesus Christ is and always has been before all things. He existed before everything else was created because he's uncreated and he is the creator. And he was before everything else came to be. It also implies time. Did you know when God created the heavens and the earth, he created time with it, because God is timeless. God is timeless. So when he created this world, he created time. And by creating time, he created order. Things happen in a particular way, in a particular sequence. We even see that in the book of Genesis in creation. God created things in a particular order. That means that God installed and invested order and orderliness into the universe and into our lives. It's woven into the very DNA of the universe and even the way we behave. A lot of times we just don't realize it, but God has put order into this creation so that it operates by a certain order, and if we follow that order, things work out well for us. When Paul says that Christ holds all things together, he's also saying that the universe is not self-sustaining. It has to be held together. And Christ in his presence and his power is holding that together. And you work with his sustaining power when you do things in a certain order. Before you came to church this morning, you got dressed. And thank you for that. And you most likely got dressed in a certain order. You put your clothes on in a particular order. You may have even gone through a routine of the morning in a particular order. We do that all the time. But it never occurs to us to ask why things work best when you do them in a particular order. Never occurs to us. But if we take a step back and we look at the universe and look at the way we work, you have to ask the question, you have to wonder, why is there order in the first place? Well, the reason is because we serve a sustaining creator who invested order in the universe. He made it that way. And our lives always work better when we operate according to his design. When we do things in the order in which he designed them, our lives always work better. Always. Creation reveals this order. It reveals that he operates that way and he sustains the universe that way. We see it in our own lives. But also the seasons work because of God's sustaining power and his order. Crops grow because God is sustaining the creation. The world is tilted perfectly on its axis because God is sustaining the creation. Your car starts because God is sustaining the creation. Christmas night, when Christ came in a manger, the angels sang because Christ created them to sing and sustains the creation. The shepherds were there with their flocks in the fields because Christ created this creation with sheep and sustains it, and they operate in order, so they were feeding their flocks by night. He was even born according to the order of the creation he had created, and had a mother and father according to the creation he had created. He sustains creation, and it reveals order in the universe. And in turn, that order is a constant reminder that God is present, that Christ is present, and that Christ is the sustaining power of his own creation. This is good news for us, not only because if we work according to his order, things work out better for us. It reminds us when we work against the order of things, it doesn't always work out better for us. But it's also good news because it teaches us that Christ and his sustaining power brings order out of disorder, calm out of chaos. And if we will bring our lives to him and stop trying to operate by our own design, stop trying to subvert his order of doing things, if we'll bring our lives to him, our chaos to him, our disorder to him, you know what he does? He brings order. He brings calm. He brings peace. And we sing about it at Christmas. He brings that peace to you when you bring to him your disorder, your calamity, your chaos. You bring all that to him. And you discover contentment and peace. You know, the Apostle Paul once said, in whatever circumstances I am, I have learned to be content. I love that verse for a lot of reasons, but I love that he said, I've learned to be content. You may not have woken up this morning content, but you can learn to be content. And you can do it by giving your struggles, your disorder, your chaos to the one who brings order to the universe, to the one who will bring order to your life. If you're sitting here this morning, you say, I've been trying so hard to make my life work. What's missing? What's missing? Well, what's missing is you're not yielding to your creator, the sustainer of the universe, the one who made you and can bring order to your life. So creation reveals God's order. Second, creation reveals God's power. It reveals God's power. Paul says, and by him all things hold together. By him means by his presence and by his power. It means that the very presence of Christ and his power in the universe is what holds all things together. And without that power, things would not be held together. But by him all things hold together because he's present and he's powerful and he is sustaining. 450 years before Christ was born, a Greek philosopher, not surprisingly, was sitting around thinking about something. And what he was thinking about is that about that time in the history of the world, people were really starting to understand that things were made up of parts. Right? Things were made up of parts. You learned this in science in school, and if you went to school a while back, you dissected frogs to find this out. Things are made up of parts. Machines are made up of parts, and they work best when you put them together. But this philosopher was sitting around, he's thinking, well, everything can't be made up of parts, because eventually there's got to be one thing that doesn't come apart. There's got to be one basic element to the universe that's indivisible and undividable. There's got to be just one thing holding it all together. And he named that theoretical thing indivisible. That's what he named it. Indivisible or undividable. The Greek word for that is atomos or atom. Fast forward through the ages. Through the ages, we've studied the atom, the one indivisible thing, the one undividable thing that for many generations, philosophers and theologians and scientists believe was the fundamental basic thing that never changed. It was the one smallest element of the universe, and everything else was based on that. And if you went to school, you learned the atom looks something like this. Or when you went to school, you learned it looks something like this. In fact, if you went to school a long time ago, you had a model in your room that had little ping pong balls on sticks. And they said, that's what the atom looks like. You remember that? Now, this is not a bad illustration of an atom. The electrons spinning around in a pretty little happy orbit around the protons and neutrons in the middle. Right? But there's one problem with that picture. And there's one problem with the model with the ping pong balls on the sticks. It's the same problem. It gives the impression that the atom, that the electrons and the protons and the neutrons are all solid. But scientists have known for a long time that's not the case. And scientists have known for a long time that those protons and neutrons there in the middle with those electrons swinging around them is a little more chaotic than that. It doesn't look all that pretty in real life. In fact, they've known for a long time that none of those are solid. They'll actually pass through each other as they ping around as an atom. Well, this presents another problem, doesn't it? What is, if the most basic indivisible thing isn't even solid, then what else is there? And here's another one. Those things, electrons, neutrons, they don't just stay together by accident. In fact, given their own way, they would push each other apart. They'd fire off elsewhere. You and your chair would fall apart. Scientists say, well, we got a problem then. Because if you take God out of the equation, you still have a problem. What's holding it all together? So scientists said, well, if the atom is not Mr. Indivisible and undividable, if it's actually not solid, we got to figure out what is. So they've spent billions of dollars building superconductors, supercolliders, to still try to get down to one thing. One thing even smaller than an atom. Split that atom. Find that one theoretical thing that holds it all together. Now they do know that there are four forces pushing against that atom, holding those together. They know that, but they don't know why. They don't know what's holding the forces there. What's holding gravity and electromagnetism and weak nuclear power and strong nuclear power? They don't know what's holding those four forces together. They just know it's happening. So in the meantime, you get this model of an atom until they figure out what in the world is holding the world together. The Apostle Paul already figured it out. By him, all things hold together. By the very power and presence of Almighty God in Jesus Christ, the atoms do not pull apart. The forces stay together. The creation he created, he sustains for your benefit and for my benefit. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible teaches very simply how it is Christ does that. Excuse me, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. He is the radiance of his glory, that is, Christ is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. By the word of his power. He created by his word and he sustains by his word. He speaks and it is so. And just as he created with that power, he sustains the world with that power. Now consider with me for a moment, though, what if one day Christ lets go? If he's upholding everything and holding everything together, all things by the word of his power, by him it all holds together, what if he pulls back? What if he lets go? What happens? Have you ever wondered? We don't have to wonder. The Bible tells us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. One day, someday, the Bible says Christ will let go. Just like that. But in the meantime, his power, his presence, his hand is the sustaining power of the universe. By him, all things hold together. When you look at your own life, it looks like it's in chaos, and you yearn for calm in your life, ask yourself, am I trying to hold it all together? Am I trying to hold, I gotta, and you heard yourself say that, haven't you, out loud sometimes? I gotta hold it together. I got to keep it together. I got to hold everything together. I got to keep everything working. And it is by Christ that you have the power in your life. It's his power, his presence, his love for you that can sustain you, that can give order to the chaos. It's him that you and I need to depend on because we can't do it ourselves. Then last, creation reveals care. Creation reveals God's care. Why doesn't? We live in a sin-filled world that has tainted the order of creation. Why doesn't Christ just let go? Well, because he loves you so much. He loves you so much. He cares about his creation. And that reveals, the creation itself reveals his care and his concern and his love. The Creator cares about what he has created. Paul says it twice for emphasis. All things hold together. By him, in him, for him, he says earlier in the passage, all things hold together. Christ doesn't omit anything to his supervision, to his order, to his sustaining power. He doesn't look at your life and say, well, you know, you've made such a mess of your life, I'm going to let you drift and dissolve into chaos. All things are held together by Christ, by his power, by his love, by his care, by his concern. He cares about his universe. He cares about his world. He cares about his creation. And he cares about you, and he cares about me. So he holds all things together, from the invisible to the invisible, from the natural to the supernatural. Christ holds all things because all things have a place. All things have a purpose. All things were designed and created for him and by him, including you. Including you. And how he cares about you so much, he wants to bring order to your life. He is sustaining the creation so you can live your life, and he wants you to come to him and know him better, to live for him. To say it's by him that all things hold together means it's intensely personal for him. It's intensely personal for him. By him personally. He doesn't delegate sustaining to the universe. He didn't design it so that one day he would hand that off to the angels and then he wouldn't have anything else to do with you or to do with me. It's by him personally that he brings order to the universe and to your life. By him personally, he sustains this world and makes it so, because that's his love for us. That's his care for us. That's his concern for you. And he knows right now, if your life is just full of chaos and struggle, he knows he can bring calm to it. He knows he can bring peace to your life, to your world. He's just waiting for you to trust him, waiting for you to believe him. You know what the difference is between believers and unbelievers in that relationship with Christ? Is that we have the opportunity to know the sustainer. To know the one who can truly sustain us, take care of us, bring peace to our lives. Instead of living in all that swirling discontent and disorder, Christ comes into our lives and brings peace. Jeff and Rebecca Payne are a newlywed couple. They were married in Ohio on November 26th, not long ago. And like so many couples just married, they left the venue of the wedding to head for the venue of the reception with a little caravan of cars, and everybody's all excited. And when they got out on the highway, they met a traffic jam, came to a standstill in the direction that they were heading because a truck had stalled out a little further up. So here the new Mr. and Mrs. Payne are in their car and they're stuck in traffic, and 10 minutes turns into 20 minutes and 20 minutes into 30 minutes and 30 minutes into 45. And they've been sitting there an hour. And suddenly there was a knock at the window. So they put down the window, and a bystander from one of the other cars, you know how people do in traffic jams, after a while they figure, I might get out and walk around. I don't do that because I'd be the one that as soon as I decide to get out and walk around, the traffic moves. See? But some people do that. They get out and walk around. So somebody walked over to the car and they knocked on the window. They saw her in her wedding dress and him in his tuxedo, and he put down the window. And the bystander said, so you guys just got married? Yeah, yeah. Where are you headed? Well, we're headed to the reception. They talked a couple more minutes, and then suddenly the bystander said, well, if you were not stuck in traffic and you were at the reception, what do you suppose you would be doing right now? And they thought about it for a second, and they said, well, we would probably be having our first dance. And the bystander said, well, why don't you do that? Right here. And Rebecca and Jeff said, well, you know what? That sounds like a pretty good idea. So they got out of the car, And in the headlights of everyone around them, and with another bystander getting music on Spotify and holding it out so they could all hear, and dozens of people videotaping it, they had their first dance. Right out there on the highway, they danced in the midst of chaos. Shouldn't that be the difference for believers in Christ? Shouldn't it be that our lives are still livable? We still love, we still dance, because we know the one who sustains the universe personally. And he comes to us, and in our disorder and chaos, he brings peace like no one else can. Shouldn't that be the difference? I hope it is for you. And if it's not, you may want to ask yourself, why not? Why won't I give him my disorder? Why won't I give him my chaos? Why do I feel like I got to handle everything when I know I don't have the power to do that? Is this morning the day you would give it to Christ? You would say, you know what? I want that contentedness, that calm, that peace and assurance. Doesn't mean all my problems are going to go away, but it means now the problem solver is in the dance with me. Yeah. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? In a moment, I'm going to pray for us, and we'll have an opportunity to respond to the Lord. And I want to ask you first, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you come this morning, make this the Christmas, everything changes for you eternally? I want to help you with that decision. So in a moment, when we start singing, would you be the first to come, say, Pastor Bob, I want to ask Christ into my life? Or maybe you know you're a believer this morning, maybe you already know that. Would you be the one that's come to pray to the altar, to unburden yourself, to ask God to take over all these problems, all this chaos in your life? Would you yield to the Lord your disorder and let him bring order into your life today? Maybe there's other decisions you need to make today. And in this time, as we're coming up here in a moment, I want to invite you to make those decisions that God has put on your heart. Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and thank you, God, that you're constantly sustaining us and constantly caring for your creation and constantly reminding us in Christ of your love for us. Thank you, God, for that. And forgive us, God, where we try to handle everything on our own. God, how I pray you forgive us for that. And Father, we praise you. We thank you, God, for the love you show us in Christ and for each one here this morning. God, I pray we'd make those decisions, God, you're calling us to make. We come to the altar, we come to Christ, we trust Christ, whatever it is, Father, you put on our hearts this morning. Let this be the Christmas that everything changes. Because once again, we trust you, our Creator in Jesus Christ, our Sustainer in Jesus Christ, to bring your power and your peace and your presence into our lives. In Jesus' name.